Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Cassandra deal. Cassandra joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Do It Again by Steely Dan, which is what someone in charge should have said in the lottery room when the Dallas Mavericks ping pong balls were draws.
Yeah. So that was unfortunate. I guess there are no basketball gods. Your thoughts on Dallas getting the number one pick?
It's just the worst. I mean... I guess it's quote unquote good content, but it's bad for the Grizzlies, but it's also just bad for basketball to me. Like, I mean, we need good players going east to create a little bit more balance. The Mavericks sort of, made their own mess. They should have to clean it up without extra help that they didn't really need, jumping up 10 spots in the lottery. And so, why couldn't we get this dude going to Washington or Charlotte or something like that, like we talked about? I think that would have been better overall. It would have been better overall, I think, for the league.
Yeah, to me, I hate it because Dallas was rewarded for their bumbling or their heinous trade, in which they betrayed their fan base. But then also, I really think that, the Utahs, even the Wizards, Certainly the Pelicans, the Charlottes, like they need good player. I mean, they really needed it. I'm as frustrated for them as I actually am that Dallas got him. So it does call into question if you were the Czar. Now, you'd probably need some time to think about it. But what do you think of the lottery? And should it be reevaluated?
I think the first thing, your starting point has to be that any system you come up with is going to have its flaws, its loopholes, its unintended consequences, its whatever. I've had a pet idea for a long time for the lottery, but it actually in some ways goes the other way from this. I may not have changed this particular outcome, but and my friend Keith Parrish has an interesting sort of idea that he thinks you should get like draft points or lottery points whenever you beat a team with a better record than you, and that should determine the order of the draft, which is kind of an interesting idea. I'm sure if you examined it, you would find problems with that. Like one of the ideas that's been out there for a long time that Mike Zarin from the Celtics had was the idea of the wheel, where you predetermine the draft order for the next 30 years, and you lock it in place, and everyone gets each pick 1 through 30 exactly once, right? But the problem with that is that if it's all predetermined, what if the Memphis Grizzlies are set to have the number one pick in 1 year and the Lakers and then the very next year, and then if you're Cooper Flagg or Victor Wembanyama, you decide, well, I'll wait a year to come out, And so, there's always issues. My idea has always been a 22 team, and I guess a 24 if you expand to 32 teams, but a flat lottery that involves everyone who does not make the second round of the playoffs, with exactly equal odds for all, whatever teams. with the idea that there would be zero tanking incentive to that point. Like, you can create a scenario, and we just saw it, where a team might choose to miss the playoffs to get a certain, you know, chance to get the number one overall pick, which is what just happened with Dallas. No one's going to choose to lose a playoff series. And so if you took every team that didn't make it past the first round of the playoffs and gave them sort of even odds, there would be no tanking incentive whatsoever. But that sort of goes the other way, right? That doesn't ensure that the worst teams get the best players. You want the worst teams to get the best players, but if you just do it that way, that really incentivizes the tanking and the artificial stuff. And so teams are making themselves bad for that purpose instead of just being bad, you know? So I don't know what the right answer is.
Well, it seems that one of the problems is that the current system, it creates odds whereby lesser teams that don't need the players, can have greater access to them, this flatter lottery. But it doesn't seem to have disincentivized tanking. Like, that's the other problem. It as a disincentive right. to tanking, it doesn't work. So if we're going to have incentivized tanking anyway, shouldn't those teams, what do they have, a 14% chance? Shouldn't they, in the end, have at least a 28% chance? Like, maybe I don't like the flat lottery odds. Maybe I want the Wizards to have a greater chance than 14% to win the damn lottery. So I don't know. My son Peter's objection is he really objects to teams that are bad for 1 year by fluke or even intent that parachute in and get the, like, what's really demoralizing if you're Washington or Charlotte or one of these right. teams. It's not just you're bad this year and you didn't get a reward this year. It's that it seems perpetual, you know? And so, whereas you've got these examples of the Spurs popping in for 1 year and plucking off Tim Duncan.
There are various tweaks people have proposed, where one of which would be, like, you know, the pre-lottery order is determined not just by individual season, but, like, maybe over multiple seasons, like what your record been cumulatively over the past 2 or 3 years. Might determine the order pre-lottery, which would partly address, you know, Peter's complaint. Another thing people have brought up is, like, you know, if you win the lottery, or you know, maybe you're not allowed to win the lottery again for a certain number of years, or if you move up a certain amount, you're not allowed to move up again for a certain number of years, that kind of thing, to prevent, like, because we're talking about Dallas, but San Antonio, like, they just got Wimby, and now he's moved up to second again, moved up six spots, you know? Like, is it going to be enough? Can you now, like, just do it on your own now?
Yeah, the NHL has a cap like that. You can only move so far within a given lottery. Even if you win, if you start at 14, you can only be, like, four, I think, or something. And then they also have a cap at how many times you can win. But anyway, okay. It was what it was. It's a little frustrating. It's highly frustrating on all kinds of reasons. Do you think there is an argument for Dallas? You know, we talked about that any team that gets Cooper Flagg should and will keep Cooper Flagg, and I still believe that to be true. In the case of Dallas, though, because they do have two ancient players who are the heart and soul of this team, and because Nico seems to want to win now, is there any kind of argument that they should deal him and that they should suddenly get in the Giannis market?
I think the stronger argument for them goes the other way. You get to, like, what do they want, right? They seem to want to win now. And so is there a chance that they would trade Cooper Flagg? I guess. Is there an argument that they should? No. To me, the argument goes the other way. It's trade Anthony Davis for whatever you can get, and you have Cooper Flagg and Derek Lively, and start, like, building from scratch that way. Like, that may require a new GM, like, which maybe they should do anyway. Like, that's what they should do organizationally. They should take this as a gift and say, okay, we're starting over with Cooper Flagg. That's what they should do. Will they do that? I don't know. I think my reaction from a lottery-impacting trade market front was much more San Antonio and, to a lesser degree, Philadelphia than Dallas. And I said I had been a little skeptical yesterday of the idea of San Antonio going after Giannis, and I still am. But San Antonio jumping up six spots to two, to me, opens that door even a little bit more. Because now you have a centerpiece for a trade like that you can do that, like, just doesn't touch anything you already have, you know?
It is a centerpiece for a trade like that. And not only does it not touch anything you have, the presumed number two pick, who is most
not even necessarily a great fit, right?
Yeah, you've already got Castle and De'Aaron Fox, and he's an on-ball, you know, guard. And so seems totally extraneous, doesn't really add anything to your team particularly. And you can maybe use him as the centerpiece to get Giannis. I don't know what else would have to be tossed in.
I think the short-term impact on the West was actually more San Antonio jumping up to two than Dallas jumping up to one.
Because Dallas with Cooper Flagg won't be he's a 19-year-old rookie. I presume he'll be good. He's probably going to be rookie of the year, but he's
Kyrie Irving is going to miss. Kyrie Irving's probably missing most, if not all, of next season with his injury. Anthony Davis is going to miss a lot of games. He's going to be another year older. He's still good, but like he's not getting better. You know, I mean, the corner has been turned on him. So I think your best case scenario with Dallas, which you could talk yourself into, is Cooper Flagg is awesome, like as a rookie. He's not like all NBA, but he's like, you know, as good as a rookie has been lately kind of thing. Like he is ready to go. And Davis has a healthy season and Kyrie gets back like in March and is good. And suddenly like, you know, you're the seventh seed that no one wants to play. But I mean, you could talk yourself into that scenario, but that's like a best case scenario with Dallas. San Antonio, man, if they leverage, whether it's Giannis or something else, they leverage that pick into an instant impact guy to go with Wimby and Fox, like they can jump up fast.
Philly, what do you think it does for Philly? The third, really the next two players after Cooper Flagg in the consensus are both guards, Dylan Harper and Vijay Edgecombe.
Ace Bailey is more the consensus on the mock at three than Edgecombe. And I haven't really watched these guys, so I don't know. So that could change. But the more mock consensus is Ace Bailey at three is more of a small forward. There's a lot of people who think like, you know, yeah, he could be Michael Porter Jr. It could be Cam Reddish. You know, I don't know about that. I don't know how good this draft is. Other than Cooper Flagg, I've seen enough of to think it's really good. I haven't spent time with the draft yet. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing where the third pick in this draft is you would have a strong sense that they're an instant impact guy no matter who you're taking. And Philly's in an interesting spot because, like, how much can you count on Embiid, you know? And so do they try to use this pick as a trade chip to try to add some veteran to go with Embiid and Maxey and try to take another shot with Embiid? Or do they see it as, like, we're building the next team. While we sort the Embiid stuff out, we're building the next team, and Maxey's young enough, and we got a good pick with Jared McCain. Now we can add a young player, you know, to McCain and Maxey and just sort of build the next you know, tier of talent, the next era. Daryl Morey is not really a build teams that way guy, though.
Right. So you clarified on Twitter, but just so people understand, we talked about this a little bit at the start of the show, Dallas winning the lottery does not mean the Grizzlies would have won had they lost that game to Dallas. Is that correct?
Right. Dallas was slotted 11th in the pre-lottery list. If Memphis had lost to Dallas in the play-in and been in the lottery, the Grizzlies would have been slotted 14th. And so when the drawing happens, the team that was 11 moved up to 1. The team that was 14 stayed at 14th, which is what would have happened to the Grizzlies.
Now they are, in fact, they are conveying the 18th pick in the draft. That's what it turned out to be the price to get rid of Marcus Smart, is going to the Wizards. They will have the 18th pick. It is interesting. I looked at the history of 18th picks, and of course, really to get a true sense of it, you could look at anyone from 15 to 20 and see who, like, there's a lot of no names that have been picked at 18. I'll say that. So, but that's the pick that it is being conveyed. You don't think that anything happened in that lottery had any particular impact on how the Grizzlies will go through the offseason, right? I mean, it won't impact them one way or another. It'll impact them if Giannis shows up, but even then, it won't necessarily impact their decision-making, right?
I don't think so. No, I mean, nothing jumps out.
Yeah.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You have written a piece about what we have learned and what we are learning about the Grizzlies in the playoffs. We may get to most of that tomorrow. My homework assignment to the listeners will be to read it, and then we'll talk about most of it tomorrow because we do have the games last night and whatever we have to talk about as well. Just kind of devastating, the injury to Jason Tatum for a guy who has missed consecutive games only once in his career. To go down with a looks like an Achilles, that was tough.
Yeah, and even down 2-1, like they obviously still could have won that game. You know, last night they still could have won that series. They still could have defended their title. All that, even being down 2-1 in New York, all of that was still there potentially for them to do. And now, I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, it's not a definite thing. It's not official, but it seems like that's not going to happen. You know, without Tatum. And so, like, that's a title team that's not defending its title. And then you go into next season, and we don't know if it's an Achilles, but it seems to be a serious injury, even if it's not. And it seems like the kind of thing that, again, seems likely to impact him into next season. And if it's a torn Achilles, it might impact him all of next season. And that's a team that was probably heading to a crossroads, if not next year, then the year after. And now that's sort of accelerated because – you know, if Tatum ends up missing a year, like, Al Horford's not going to be there on the other side of it. And, you know, Porzingis is shaky, and Jaylen Brown is good, but they're facing this enormous contract with him, and you got to make a decision there. And, you know, Drew Holiday is into his 30s. Derek White is 30, but Drew Holiday is older than that. He's like 33, 34 or whatever. And so, you know, the Celtics could be a team that really gets shaken up over the next year or two now.
And yeah, and they I presume they have a colossal tax bill. And are you paying a colossal tax bill for a team that isn't going to win? You know,
because right? No, that's the thing. And so, I mean, it's me put Jaylen Brown on the trade market, which a lot of people thought he might be on the trade market anyway. But like, look at that contract. I mean, how a year are people going to be to trade for that? As good as he is, you know. You're not trading for Jokic. You're trading for, like, you know, an all-star who's going to be making like $60, $70 million at the end of the contract. Right. And so, like, that's an issue. And it's another player, you know, let's say Lillard doesn't play or can't be himself next season. We're being presumptuous, but it's not an unreasonable presumption based on what we saw. Like, that's one of the best players. That's arguably the best player in the East. You know, first or second, who might just not be in the East next year. If Giannis gets traded west, that's the top two players in the East who won't be there next year. You know, Damian Lillard is already, you know, maybe done for the year next year. I mean, Embiid, you know, the last guy in the East to win an MVP is, like, pretty much toast, you know? And so, like, And now you got Cooper Flagg headed west. And, like, you know, it just keeps getting worse in terms of the conference imbalance.
Yeah, and it looks like this Boston team, who knows? But it feels like they may, in the end, have one title by the time this iteration of the Boston Celtics.
Well, which, by the way, one is good. One is good.
One is good. One is great.
One is hard.
I've been alive for 63 years. No one on my teams have ever won a title, and I've rooted for a few. So, yeah, one is good. It does feel like things are opening up for Oklahoma City, though, doesn't it? I mean, injuries everywhere.
It's opening up in all kinds of ways. We're looking at a Knicks-Pacers like conference finals. That's interesting. One of those teams is probably going to be in the NBA finals. Minnesota is going to be playing either OKC or Denver. If OKC beats Denver, we're looking at a Final Four potentially of OKC, Minnesota, Indiana, New York. Three of those teams have never won a title, and the last time the Knicks won a title was 1973. So that's kind of an interesting Final Four if it gets to that point.
And I was just calling the Pacers B+ or D good, whatever it was last week, I think it was. And now look at them. In the meantime, Minnesota did what we thought they'd do, beat the Warriors. It is interesting. Randall's been good. Thoughts on Minnesota? They haven't been good, but Randall's been good.
It's hard to get a read on Minnesota. Like, they're kind of, you know, they may end up getting to the conference finals with two losses, like a 5-1, 5-1. I think it was 5-1 against the 4-1 against the Lakers, so 4-1, 4-1. But, like, that Lakers team sort of got exposed a little bit in the playoffs in terms of the depth of talent. And this Warriors team is just a shell of itself without Curry. And so, like, as impressive as it is for Minnesota to, if let's assume they win game 5 at home in this series, as impressive as it would be to get to the conference finals with two losses, they haven't been super impressive doing it, really. So it's hard to get a read on them. We'll learn a lot more about them in the conference finals. But Anthony Edwards is, like, you know, is emerged as one of the top players in the league. And Randall's having a great series. They're having a great playoffs. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him now this summer, because he's got a player option for $30 million, and it feels like this is like a contract playoffs, right? Like, he's going to now opt out of that. They're going to pay him some three-year, you know, tear that up and sign a new three-year deal for like $120 million or something. And then if that happens, like, what are they doing with their free agents in terms of Naz Reid and Nikhil Alexander-Walker and other stuff? And so it could be an interesting summer for the Wolves, but I think they're focused on the spring right now.
Right. All right, read Chris's piece at the Daily Memphian. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington, we got a Fish on Friday coming up next. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman. He is our man in Washington, D.C. Charles is the author of three New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand joins us now from beautiful Washington, D.C. How are you, Charles?
I'm excellent. It's pouring rain here, so it was beautiful yesterday. We really believe in May showers. It's supposed to be April showers bring May flowers. We believe in May showers. So
me too. In Memphis, same thing. In Memphis, same thing. It was pouring yesterday. It feels like you get our weather a day after.
We do. We do get it. If you look at the weather forecast, it's going to rain every day this week until Saturday. Also, I don't know if I'm giving it away. It'll be interesting to see because I don't think he listens. But we are negotiating right now the terms. It's a little bit like China and Donald Trump. We are negotiating the terms to host John Martin and his family this summer because they've never been to Washington. He and his wife, his kids are little, but he and his wife have never been to Washington, D.C., so I want to solve
Quick, Charles, off the top of your head, here's the one problem, of course, is that John's kids are little, and that's not really the best time to go to D.C. This is not Disneyland. It's got, you know.
Two and five. This is such a great city. There's so much.
Okay, I want to know top three things that just your typical average tourist have to do in Washington, D.C. And we got to get through them quick because I got to get to your list.
Your average tourist. Oh, not
average tourist.
I would say the best things, some of the best things are a little hidden. People are going to roll their eyes. I think the Air and Space Museum, and if you have a car, there's two Air and Space Museums. There's one on the Mall at the Smithsonian. That's the classic, you know, museum. And then there's one, as a second one, a quote-unquote branch out at Dulles International Airport. And the Dulles International Airport Air and Space Museum is so large, you could put the one in downtown Washington inside it. You could put it inside as an exhibit in the bigger museum. And they have full-size airplanes, full-size rockets, and there's my favorite. The Smithsonians are not known for their wit. There's a In the one downtown, there's a spacesuit for Russian cosmonauts, for Soviet cosmonauts, that was designed and constructed for them to walk on the moon. But after we landed on the moon, the Russians stopped. They never went. They gave up. And the exhibit has an informational little sign, placard, and the headline is "All Dressed Up and Nowhere to Go."
It's the equivalent of the losing team Super Bowl T-shirts. So they print up, you know, the Bills win the Super Bowl over the Cowboys.
No one
ever sees them. Okay. They send. It's the same thing. You're a loser. You don't have to use the T-shirt.
Air and Space, exciting. Hidden Gem,
I'm doing top three things. I'm going to say they got to go to the Mall.
I'm telling you.
You'll
be quiet for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm telling you. Hidden Gem. That's the introduction to number two.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The National Portrait Gallery. Sounds like the most tediously boring place you could possibly imagine. It is one of our favorite places in the whole city. Incredible paintings. Old stuff, new stuff. Great. They tell you everything about the painter and the person. Beautiful building. It's the old patent building. No one builds things like this anymore.
Give me number three.
And what is number three? Well, number three is the African American History Museum. African American History
Okay,
Museum.
Okay, now you're being ridiculous. Why wouldn't one go to the
Washington? Why am I being ridiculous?
Because if you're going to say the top three things, you've got to go to see the Washington Monument, and you've got to go see the Lincoln Memorial. The Lincoln Memorial is one of the great, truly great things in the world, and you just left it off because you want to be smarter.
I've lived here 20 years of my life. You're going to see the Washington Monument. You can't be in Washington and not see it.
That's fine. You
should make sure. Okay, who's watching? Whose segment is this? Who give us your?
I just think you said three hidden things. I didn't say the hidden things.
You know what? I didn't say three hidden things. The air and space.
I'm down with that. That's a secret.
The number one most visited museum in the world every year. About 20% more visitors than the Sorbonne. So that's not a hidden gem.
Except anyway, the Dulles one is.
The Dulles one.
Dulles isn't the most
hard
visited.
To get to.
You went off. You did what smart people do. You need to prove your a little bit. You know, here.
You and I both know I'm an intellectual man. I got to give you the cerebral. The pandas are back at the zoo.
We got a new Pope.
The pandas are back at the zoo. Go see the pandas. Pope Leo. This was kind of fun. In a lot of different ways. I wanted to give you some Pope Leo, and we predicted there would be a Pope by this segment. We didn't think this was going to go 6 days. You've read a lot about Pope Leo. These are things I bet you don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
The Pope plays Wordle. He plays Wordle. Wordle is one of the New York Times online games. You don't play it. I play Wordle every day with a group of three people, and we text each other our scores every single day and talk about Wordle. The Pope was the last thing he did before he went into the conclave was play Wordle. There's a picture of him playing Wordle, standing in line to get in. He has a college degree. Do you know what his degree is in from Villanova?
Math.
He is, as we would say in Chicago or Boston, wicked smart. He has a degree in math. He speaks five languages. He doesn't stumble along. He actually
Spanish, Italian, Spanish, Italian, Italian, English. Then
right.
Then I'm gonna go French.
Yes, correct. Four for four. You're probably
then,
not gonna get the next one.
What you don't
South America.
The next one. I'm gonna go Portuguese.
No. Portuguese, you got it. And then which two did he read? Think about the Catholic Church.
What's that?
Read Latin, Latin, and then there's one more.
And Greek.
Which
Latin
one
Greek.
Would he ask?
Yeah.
No, Latin think Greek, about my own Latin. Personal.
Oh, Hebrew. Hebrew.
My own personal
Hebrew.
Language skills.
Hebrew. Right,
no,
Hebrew.
No, German. English, Spanish, Italian, French, and Portuguese. Yesterday, he addressed 1,000 reporters in the first papal press conference of his reign, spoke to them in Italian. So he's not stumbling along. He's completely conversant. And my own German, of course, I have 5 or 6 years of German. I could probably speak German.
Tell the people what happened in your first year of German at Harvard, just so they can feel a little bit, you know, a little bit a sense of.
It was a complete disaster.
How bad a disaster was it?
I did very badly in German. German was a full year required.
How badly did you do? Oh, tell the people a quote from the professor when you went to challenge the fact that you were failed.
I sicked out of the exam and had to take the final exam for the whole course in September.
That means you pretended he was sick, right?
I pretended I was sick, so I didn't have to take the final. Then I was going to study all summer, which I didn't study for even 1 hour over the summer. Then I took the exam, and I did badly on the exam. I failed the exam, and then they failed me in German, which would have meant I had to go take another whole year of German. This was not trivial stakes. And I went to the head of the German department at Harvard to argue my case, which really requires some cojones when you have failed. And I said, I made the following case. I, too, was a math major in college. No, I was not. I said, sir, I can't have failed German. You can't give me an F. First term I had a C+. So even if I did fail the exam. If you average them, you know, that's a passing grade of some kind. Oh. Why are you giving me an F? And he looked at me and he said, you have an F in German because, Charles, you know no German. You know no German. It was really the end of the conversation. It was hard to, if I could have replied in German with some witticism, like, I know enough to order a beer at Oktoberfest, he might have burst out laughing and given me a B. As it was, I had to take German again, and the most amazing thing is, I have no memory of taking German the second time.
All right, moving on. We're going to get to your list. You had hurtling towards us. Yeah.
Right. The Pope plays tennis. We haven't had an athletic Pope in a long time. He literally plays tennis. And the best thing of all, for those of us who were high school journalism geeks, he was the editor-in-chief of his high school yearbook. That's kind of cool. I got to say, I don't think you knew any of those things. Maybe you knew about the man.
I certainly knew he played Wordle because it was in the New York Times piece.
You knew he played Wordle? Okay, I had not heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. That we reported on this probe crashing to Earth. You were worried that it might land in your swimming pool. It could have. Cosmos 482 crashed to Earth at 9:24 a.m. Saturday, 9:24 a.m. Moscow time.
I heard something, honestly. I thought I heard something. Where did it hit?
You thought you heard? That's quite the buildup. You thought you heard something about what?
About it crashing. At that moment when it hit, I thought I heard a tremor. Where did it hit?
Oh, wow, that would be remarkable. We need to put you in a lab and test you. It crashed into the Indian Ocean.
Oh.
350 miles west.
Maybe that's not what it was. Something else.
Of the middle Andaman Island. Between India to the west and Myanmar to the east. Just because this is how I treat my audience and this segment. If you wanted to go get it and see what condition it was in, that was what we were interested in. The parachutes did not, in fact, come out. The parachutes failed.
Right. Okay.
I checked the depth of the Indian Ocean where it crashed. It's 3,000 feet deep. You could recover it if you wanted to, but you'd have to be both rich and determined. 3,000 feet deep.
You're a big believer in everyone signing up for their 401k. You've urged people to do that many times, and there's news about Ted Cruz has a 401k.
Yeah,
What's this?
At some point we're going to do a segment on the fact that I think more than half the people, do we do that? More than half the people in America are signed up. If you're not signed up for your 401k, this is your weekly reminder. Go to HR and sign up right now. Your 70-year-old version of yourself will be so grateful. Ted Cruz has made a part of the president's quote-unquote big, beautiful tax bill that the Republicans just released the text of yesterday to extend the tax cuts from his first term, has tucked in there a new kind of savings account for children that would be the equivalent of a 401k savings account. That is, you put money in and it grows tax deferred.
Sort of a 401 pre-K.
A 401 pre-K. Beautifully done. And here's the interesting thing. There's two or three interesting things about it. Let's talk about the rule of 72s for a minute. Do you personally know the rule of 72?
That you rule know,
it's really a math heavy segment.
No.
The rule of 72 is how quickly does your savings double? Your savings doubles based on the interest rate that it receives, and you simply divide the interest rate into the number 72. And that's how many years it takes to double. If you're making 10%, your money doubles in 7 years. Making 7%, your money doubles in 10 years. If you're invested in the basic stock market, your money doubles every 8 or 9 years. It gets 8 or 9%. So Ted Cruz's bill, the segment of this bill, would give a $1,000 gift from the U.S. government to every child born in America with two qualifications. They have to be a U.S. citizen at birth, but of course, if they're born in the United States, they are, as we know, a U.S. citizen, and you have to get a Social Security number. So the moment you get your Social Security number, you receive an account, a savings account with $1,000. Now, just that $1,000 between the age of 0 and 18, using the rule of 72s, would double about 2.5 times. So it would double once from 1,000 to 2,000, double again from 2,000 to 4,000, and then get halfway to doubling again, so 6,000. So the 1,000 that we would give every child at age 0 at birth would be actually worth $6,000 when they could take it out at 18, and your family, your parents and your family members could add up to $5,000 to it, and your employer, your parents' employers. They think employers would do this. At 18, you could take it out for education, to buy a house.
Or they can add the money to it as they go along or at the inception, or when can they, your parents?
No. You can add the money to it anytime you want, up to limited to $5,000 a year. Tax-free, so it would grow tax-free. I'm not clear whether it's tax-free when you take it out.
Is it meant to be a college account? Is it meant to be, or is it meant to inspire people to have babies?
It's not meant to take the place of college savings accounts, which really require $1,000 doesn't get you very far in college these days. Right. 529s are different. It's meant to give every child in America a stake in the economy, a sense of the power of savings from the very beginning. Look, this was $1,200 when you were 4. Now it's $4,000 when you're 12. Isn't that cool? And also to give them a stake at age 18 or age 25. So I don't know how I feel about it exactly, giving money away. But as investments go, there's 3.6 million births in the U.S. a year. So this would cost $3.6 billion.
When you think about how many kids Elon Musk has, we're giving a lot of money to rich people, you know, just if you think about how many kids Elon Musk has. And then,
I mean, let's be honest, half the families in America have a family income of $100,000 or less. So I'm not worried about Elon Musk. And maybe you could opt out.
No, but you are. Maybe it's not particularly progressive. You're giving to rich and poor alike, right? You're giving money. You are giving $1,000 to a lot of families that don't need it. Let's be honest, right? But you're giving a stake.
I would say that the 1%, you know, are not a huge slice of the population.
That's true.
So
okay. We got other things to get to. iPhone prices.
Wait one second. This was originally the idea of a Democratic Senator Cory Booker, just to be clear, in his 2020 campaign, now co-opted by Ted Cruz.
That's fine. That's not bad. Take good ideas.
Don't forget the rule of 72s. Don't forget the rule of 72s.
iPhone prices.
This was the most interesting story yesterday outside of the tariffs, was that there's a quote-unquote labeled exclusive in the Wall Street Journal saying Apple is considering raising iPhone prices in September. What's today? It's May. I'm kind of betting they know what the price of the iPhones they're going to release in September is at this moment. It was what we used to call in the news media a trial balloon. If we tell people we're going to raise the price of the newest iPhone, what will happen? Well, the price of Apple's stock yesterday went up $12, 6%, so it didn't hurt that. But here's the interesting thing. When do you think the last time Apple releases a whole new wave of newly advanced iPhones every year? I'm not even going to give you within 1 year. Tell me when you think the last time Apple raised the price on iPhones was.
I guess I would have assumed it was, but since you're asking me, I would have assumed it was every year, but since you're asking me the question, I'll say it was 2018.
2017. They haven't raised the price of iPhones since 2017.
Wow.
What they do is introduce new iPhones every September. The top-of-the-line iPhones are priced exactly like the previous year's top-of-the-line iPhones were priced, and then the 1 year and 2 year models, old models, get bumped down the price scale. So they leave the basic price the same for everything, and the new phones are slotted in at each of those prices.
What is the price? What's an iPhone cost? So many people pay it on an installment on their phone bill. They don't even know.
Nobody knows. We don't do that. Don't buy your iPhone on credit. The lowest price entry-level iPhone is $799. The highest price without enhancements like more memory is $1,199. So $800 to $1,200. The thinking is either $50 or $100. So either $899 or and $1,299 or so. But what if iPhones had gone up the way egg prices had gone up? Oh, my right. God.
I have a question. Anyway, you said don't do it. Do they charge some exorbitant interest?
No, I pay
monthly.
Right. As paying on time, quote unquote, paying a loan, paying monthly for something goes, iPhones are among the best deals. They pay. They charge no interest. They simply take the price. If you buy
there's no reason not to do it,
an extra memory.
There's literally no reason not to do it. It's free
the
money.
Reason
that,
not
be,
to,
my, that money can reason, be used doing something else.
Right. But that's not how it works. The reason not to do it is what people end up doing is they give themselves a permanent phone payment just like they've given themselves a permanent car payment. They just always are paying $36 a month for the phone, and then when they get tired of the phone, they trade it in. It hasn't been paid off. You don't even own the phone. So, you know, in the Fishman financial world, which I appreciate is not the world everybody lives in, you buy what you can afford, and you charge things that you need to
but
charge.
But it's literally free money, and it's no interest. It's a very different deal than buying something.
It is
on
a
your
very different
card.
Deal yeah, than yes. a $700 a month
okay.
car payment. $400 of which is going
right.
to the
tariffs
to the
suspended
credit.
Again. Our tariff friends, our Chinese friends, we've come together and decided to suspend mostly the tariffs. The stock market has reacted accordingly. It is rocketed up yesterday. Your thoughts?
I mean, my thoughts are unpopular. My thoughts are the tariffs have caused 5 or 6 weeks of unbelievable chaos, tumult, anxiety, worry for small, medium, and large businesses in America. For the smallest toy importer, we've had podcasts and stories about regular people running regular businesses, and for the big car companies, for Apple. Literally thousands of people working every day to figure out how to work around the tariffs, wasting talent, wasting money, reorganizing supply chains, 21% fewer ships docked at the Port of Los Angeles last week.
But we got some stuff out of them, right?
Wait. Okay. And now they're all undone. Now he's rolled them all back for 90 days. But we got nothing. We got nothing in
We didn't get any concessions.
Not a single thing that ostensibly we want. All we did was we agreed to roll back our tariffs, and they agreed to roll back their tariffs. I think some quote unquote tariff supporters or Trump supporters would say, "Oh no, what we got was we showed them we'll do it. Our threats are real. Now you're going to have to deal with us." Yeah, well, their threats are real, too. They shut off all access to rare earth minerals. So we could have negotiated what we wanted without imposing total chaos on the economy.
I mean, I guess in the end,
if
we get some remarkable concessions in 3 months, in the 90 days, which most people don't believe we will, then you would reevaluate and say, oh, it looks like the... But right now, we did all of that.
The Chinese have made it clear that's not happening. Anyway, and that's...
Do you want to talk about New York, or do you want to talk about Disney?
Hang on. I want to finish this one point. Which is, that's the world Donald Trump lives in. He does real estate business. People have stompy tantrums and say, I'm not doing it, and make ridiculous offers all the time. And it doesn't matter because the building is sitting there and you're just negotiating with a person about whether I'm going to buy your golf course or not, whether I'm going to sell you my hotel or not. Real business doesn't work that way. Real business has supply chains that are months long. The Port of Los Angeles, the director of the Port of Los Angeles said last night, 90 days is not that long in these supply chains in terms of getting stuff out of factories. And so some people, the NPR interviewed the head, the CEO of the company that imports Tonka trucks, toy trucks. He was literally on the phone in the middle of the night cranking up the Chinese factories and trying to hire a trucking company. So let's talk about the new Disney park.
Where is it?
Disney theme park was announced yesterday. the first one since Shanghai in 2016. There are parks in six places in the world: Anaheim, Orlando, Tokyo, Paris, Shanghai, and Hong Kong. This one is going to be in Abu Dhabi, the capital of the United Arab Emirates, right on the Persian Gulf, just east of Saudi Arabia. It's going to be built on a fake island called the Yaz Island, which is part of the Abu Dhabi. It's not going to be huge, because all of Yaz Island is 10 square miles, and there are other things on Yaz Island. 6,400 acres is Yaz Island. Just the park in Orlando is 25,000 acres. So this is going to be a modest park. Bob Iger, the CEO, two interesting things. He said, this is the crossroads of the world in some ways now. 500 million people. That's more than everybody in the U.S. and Canada combined. 500 million people who are, quote unquote, income qualified to go to the parks, live within a 4-hour plane ride, income qualified. Yeah, you need $500 a day. And Disney isn't spending any money. The park is funded by the UAE government and then built by Disney. That's a little weird.
All right, Charles, we got to get out of here. We appreciate it. As ever, on Twitter, at C. Fishman. Have a great day, and don't let any probes hit you in the head on the way out. Yeah, thanks. We got to get out of here. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, what's coming up next on Jason and John? Jessica Benson will join their program. Tim Murray will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.